Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Tuesday morning. I'm here with John Levine.
Good morning, Dougie.
And this is the WEI Network. Of course, we come to you 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Tuesday through Thursday. This ain't no pussy podcast. And Talia's out. She's out entertaining clients.
I don't know. I was wondering where she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you were like, oh, she can't make it. And, you know, I mean, I didn't tell you this, but I was like, God damn it. I'm like, I gotta sit with Dougie.
Yeah,
just the two of us. Yeah.
You don't. She's not between us.
She's not between us, yeah. Because usually when it's a show like this, it gets a little contentious, you know what I mean? You like to...
Yeah, and I like it.
You like to stir it up a little bit, you know.
Well, that's what we do here on the radio.
No, that's what you do on the radio.
Listen, that's what radio's contrived controversy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's got to be, it's got to be exciting.
Right.
Anyway, we got a lot. I had a great week. I was at the Looney Bin in Oklahoma City. And I had a great time, so thanks to everybody out there. First time at the club, which is always exciting.
Nice, yeah.
And
nice club.
Yeah, nice place. And, you know, it's funny because the Looney Bins, they don't do hotels. What they do is most of the, I'm pretty sure what I understand, is that they all have a house, a nice house,
Okay.
or a home, as opposed to a shitty condo. And they have a nice home, and it's like a nice four-bedroom house. And
sweet.
It's, you know, nice, yeah. And everything, it's all the... And the headliner, his family lives there, so I had the house to myself, which is pretty cool. And, you know.
Oh, the headliner's family lives in Oklahoma City.
Right. He's in L.A., he stays in L.A. now.
Oh,
but,
gotcha.
But he stayed with his
family. The way you said it, the way that sounded, was like the headliner lived at the house that they had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now I get it.
Anyway, so it was really cool. Now, the thing was, you know, because one of the owners picked me up from the airport. And, you know, brought me to the house. And then after that, Brett James, who was a good friend of mine and hosted this all week, he picked me up for the shows and brought me back after the shows.
Sweet.
You know, so, but I didn't go anywhere. Where are you going to go in Oklahoma City? Besides, I heard downtown Oklahoma City's nice.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
It's pretty. I didn't get to go. Yeah, when are you going to go? You know what I mean?
I don't know. You were there.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because after, you know, during the show, people come up to me. They're real nice people in Oklahoma. They're all pretty, you know, very friendly and everything.
Sure, yeah.
And they're like, oh, so what do you think of Oklahoma so far? And I'm like, well, I've been in the house and I've been here at the club. So
you're like pretty shitty.
I don't really know much about it. You know, I got to say, but you know, it was terrible because Wednesday, I was supposed to fly out there.
Yeah.
And we had like a monsoon of a day here in South Florida.
It was bad.
Right? I mean, nothing. I had to go. I guess my flight was at 10:30
a.m.
on United, right, a.m. So I get there, and they're like, okay, and I can't use the check-in. It's not finding my flight. And I'm like, ugh. So I had to wait in line. I get in line, and I'm like, oh, and then, oh, you're that flight's delayed, and you're going to miss your connecting flight. So here's what we're going
to
do.
Were you flying to Chicago?
No, I was flying to Houston.
Ah, okay.
Houston and Oklahoma. So they said, "Well, you're not gonna make the connecting flight, so we're gonna have to change your flight." So they hooked me up through American Airlines.
Okay,
which means I had to walk from Terminal 1 to Terminal 3.
Right.
You know, 10 o'clock in the morning, pretty hot. So I walk there. Okay, now that flight's delayed a couple times. Meanwhile, you look outside; it's just cloudy. It doesn't look like it's, you know, it doesn't look that bad yet.
Right.
Right. And it's delayed, and it's delayed. And then you can see in the distance the thunder, you know, the storm's coming. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So they put us on the plane anyway, right? And the lady at the ticket lady, she goes,
The gate.
Yeah, she goes, oh, you should be all right. You'll probably make your connecting flight out of Dallas. I was going to fly to Dallas.
Right.
So, you know, you should be all right. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then we get on the plane, and we taxi out to the runway, and we're out there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it sucks.
Don't go nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, they were trying to look for a window to, you know what I mean,
right,
to take off through, but it just never
and
materialized.
Never, yeah. And here I am looking at the thing on my phone. I'm looking at the Doppler radar.
Yeah.
On my phone, it just looks like a red blanket.
Like a shitstorm, yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. You know, it was bad. And, you know, the result of that, obviously, was you weren't here this weekend, but it was, I mean, gorgeous weather over the weekend.
Right.
You know, my brother got married on Saturday.
That's right.
And it was outdoors. I mean, we're talking May 7th in Florida, and it was like 78 degrees with no humidity and not a cloud in the sky.
Really?
It was perfect.
Now, that you got to ask yourself, like, when you make those plans to have an outdoor, you know,
yeah,
wedding.
What do you do?
What are you going to do if it rains? It's like that Range Rover commercial where those people all jump in the Range Rover and it's pouring.
Right.
And the girl says, oh, I heard it's bad luck if it rains during your wedding. And the guy's like, no, it's good luck.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what the real saying is.
Of course, that was the, you know, of course, everyone's asking, what were we going to do if it rained? And their answer was, we knew it wasn't going to rain. Like, we had no contingency plan. We just, you know, they believed it,
right,
which I was like, yeah, that's a good good planning there. Good planning. But
but
it worked out. It worked out. It was a beautiful weekend. It was the Air and Sea Show as well over the weekend. We were all staying at a hotel on the beach, you know, 15th floor with a balcony overlooking the ocean. So, I mean, we're watching the Air and Sea Show. F-16s are flying by us.
That's the best.
It was super cool.
Was this the first year it was back? Or was it the last year it came back?
No, it came back. This was the first year since 2013 maybe, or 2012,
right? Because I remember it went away for a while because it was too much money, and
they couldn't find a sponsor.
After the McDonald's financial crisis,
McDonald's was the sponsor. They left, so they stopped doing it, and then they were supposed to come back I think in 2014 or 2015, but the budget shutdown caused it to not they couldn't,
right,
because obviously it's all military planes,
right?
And if there's no money.
Did they have the stealth bomber fly by?
They didn't. For this year, for whatever reason, they did not have the stealth bomber.
That to me was the highlight when I went once or twice.
No, but they did have they had one of those new F-35 joint strike
fighters.
Yeah. So that flew by, you know, that did a couple of things. And then, you know, the stunt shows with the different things.
Yeah, they showed the Harrier jet just kind of hovering over the water.
Yeah, and the P-51 Mustangs, you know, the old school World War
II's.
And, it's fun. And I'll tell you, watching it from that perspective on the 15th floor, you know what I mean? That's a whole
different. We saw it one time right there on the corner, I guess Las Olas. We were at somebody's condo, like penthouse, right there on Las Olas, and they went in
the Jackson Tower. Yeah,
I think so. It's right across the quarter deck.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So my buddy used to live there.
Yeah. So we saw it there one time, and they're flying like right by
right there.
I was like, holy shit!
That's, it's interesting because my buddy used to live in that building. He lived on the 20th floor.
Right.
So you can't. He was facing south, so you couldn't see the show, which was north.
Right.
You know, but that building is the turnaround point.
Right.
So that's why. So if you're standing on the balcony, they come around that building to turn around.
Yeah.
It's
pretty badass.
Super cool. Yeah.
I remember I guess it was in 2000. Yeah, it's about 2000. I bought a place, or not buy, I was renting. I sold my house.
Yeah.
And I rented a place on the beach, right on Pompano Beach. And that was just when they had this Air and Sea Show on the 4th of July. So, you know, because they practice the days building up to it.
Sure.
You know, they're always flying, you know, the military helicopters and all shit. And it's pretty cool. Then, of course, I'm living right on the beach, and the 4th of July celebration was right there.
That's perfect.
Yeah, man, it was the best.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, you know. So I get stuck on the fucking plane, and it's funny because now I get off the plane. I don't know. I got there at 10 in the morning. It's like 7 o'clock at night.
You still haven't taken off.
And you're right. And then they taxi back to the runway. They're like, okay, there's a couple people that need to get off the plane, medical help or something like that. Somebody in first class needed something. So we go back, and the ladies like walk out and they're like, oh, what's the deal? And like, well, you can go to the ticket agent, which you got to walk out of security again.
Right.
And see if you can arrange another flight. And as I'm walking, I'm like, I call my wife and go, just come get me. I'm not going to make a show tonight. I'm not going to make it to do a show.
So right. So why not just go tomorrow?
It doesn't make any sense to get to Dallas tonight and then, you know, and have to stay there. The hotel, you know, if I get a hotel. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going back. And then and while I'm driving home, I went back to United and they said, okay, we'll get you out at 7 in the morning.
Okay.
My wife's like, that early? I go, yeah, I'm getting the fuck out. I got to get out.
Yeah, I always try to take if you can, always try and take the first flight out because the plane is usually there from the night before.
Right.
So, you know, it's not, usually the delays are caused not by the planes leaving late, but by the planes coming in
late. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always try to get the first flight out because usually the plane comes in the night before, they shut it down, you know, do whatever they got to do, shut it down, get it ready for the morning. And that way you just, you go and there's no delays to get out.
That's right. So finally get there. And it was a great time. You know, again, it's like the first time I was at the club, and one of the club owners had saw my video and really liked it. So she was, and it was kind of nervous, a little nerve wracking because, you know, I mean, the first show on Thursday, well, there's only one show, you know, went really well. Right. And I thought, man, you know, this is, I got a couple of applause breaks, and you know, it's one of those, it's just strong, you know, one of those sets. When I say strong set, you know, strong set means, you know, just that people aren't laughing. It means they're laughing. I mean, they're falling over, and you know, they're leaning over in their seat. They're you know, they're gasping for breath. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. You know, when you hear that, you see that, and I'm like, oh, this is great. Well, this is good. You know, this is a good sign. I'm going to come back.
Sure.
And then the owner, the lady there, she's like, comes up. She goes, hey, you know, good job, good job. You know, like real, like kind of subtle about it. I'm like, oh man, you know what the fuck? You know. And then Brett comes up to me. Goes, no, man. She thought you were fucking great. You know. So
right.
So that was cool. So, and the great thing about that, Looney Bin's got a few other clubs: Little Rock, Wichita. I don't remember that. It was like two or three other locations. So
nice, all urban meccas.
Right.
Right.
And those are the best places to go watch, you know, comedy or go to comedy, because there's not much else to do.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the Friday night show, early show was great. Second show, because of the Oklahoma Thunder were playing.
I was going to ask if there was a, because they're in the playoffs. So.
Right. So they, you know, that, but this, there was like the first show had like seats like over 220 people.
Mm.
So the first show had about 180.
Nice.
And then the second show had about 50. Mm. But then Saturday shows, two shows, we had like, I mean, the first show we were packed. It was like over 200 people. The second show, about 180.
Nice.
So it was like just, you know, it was just one of those. It was just great, you know.
And you got home Sunday.
Yeah. Thank God. You know what I mean? A little turbulence flying from Oklahoma to Houston. Like it was like an hour flight of, you know, like bouncing around.
Yeah.
Which I'm getting more used to it now.
You don't get as nervous.
No, I just start breathing. I visualize like I'm on a bus. You know what I mean? I visualize like I'm on a bus, and that way the movement doesn't make
me... Well, and that's what, you know, if you think about it, and there's a flight attendant, she's like, imagine you're driving in a car and there's bumps in the road. She's like, you don't think the car's going to flip over. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, it's just air, you know, it's just that the air is rough. It's not, you know, sometimes it's smooth and well-paved, and other times there's some, you know, little potholes.
I know, but I mean, every once in a while when you get those big, jarring sensations, you feel like the thing's going to open up, like the plane's just going to crack open in the middle.
You ever see those stress tests they do on those planes, like when they build them?
No.
Like you can look at them online. They literally take the wings and they like bend them up so they're almost like at 90 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, these things, well, because you got to figure that, I mean, it's those things are moving, in
right.
But it's amazing. I mean, if you watch it, that'll make you feel even, like, better, because they literally take these wings and they, like, fold them up, and then they bring them back down.
Yeah, but then there's two words that always get me a little fucked up, and it's called metal fatigue.
No, but that's the thing. They you know, the way these maintenance schedules are, think about this.
They do this, they test the wings like that on a regular basis?
Not like that, no, but they metal fatigue happens, you know, they can tell with those, like, the radar, you know, sensing stuff, that they run over the metal to see where, if there's thin spots or, you know, whatever it is.
Like a sonogram kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, think about this. There hasn't been a plane crash due to like mechanical failure in like 25 years.
Think of it. Yeah, like the last few were just pilot error.
Pilot error, or those, you know, those terrorism. From, you know, whatever it is.
The pilots from North Korea, the Korean Airlines, went way too low. And remember that joke?
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. In San Francisco.
Captain way too low.
But that's the thing, because they've. I mean, even that. You know, it was like 2 months ago when that guy blew himself up in that seat. You know, it wasn't in this country, obviously. It was, but it blew a hole in the plane, but didn't. I mean, the plane still landed. He was the only guy that got sucked out and died.
Right? How bad is that suicide bomber? Some guy tries to kill everybody in the plane. Well, he blows himself out.
Technically,
the window.
He achieved his goal. He did die.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Didn't take everybody with him, but
you, I get mean, 71 virgins, or whatever. How many people you killed? Just me.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you know, there's a reason why you get so dry on a plane. Like, you know, it's like the air so dry.
Right.
It's because they keep the relative humidity at a specific point so that there's no corrosion issues.
Right.
So that's why there's no humidity almost on a flight, almost none.
Mm.
And that's why you get so dry. And like those new Dreamliners, like the new Boeing, the huge ones,
right,
they're not made out of aluminum. It's like a composite material, which doesn't rust. So the humidity in there is so much greater. So it's actually, you don't get that feeling.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well,
learning with me.
So another point there on flying, which, like I said, I'm become a lot more comfortable with it.
Sure.
By the way, let's shout out to the guys at Ignite Hospitality. Want to give them a plug, because, you know, if you need to go somewhere, you're an entertainer of some sort, and you have a social media following. Basically, contact Ignite Hospitality, because we're going to be at the in Colorado Springs. The wife and I are actually going to go on May 11th. That whole week.
For the World Series.
Yeah, World Series of Comedy at Looney's Comedy Corner. I think it's called, in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the Friday night show at 10:30, the late show. That's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, I wonder if the one for Zanies came out.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if they've named them yet, but I think that, yeah, you had a day left. I know you had a...
Was it, yeah, was today the last day you could register?
May have been. But, so, you know, I got, the wife and I are going to go early because we're going to say, you know what, it's our anniversary month. So we're going to go down to downtown Denver that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I got some friends we're going to see. It's going to be fun going around downtown Denver with all the legal weed.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you ever been to Denver?
I've been there, but not since the...
Not since the weed.
Not since the free weed. Did I say free? Weed. See, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to go there and say, hey, I heard weed's free here.
Right.
They're like, no, it's legal. I'm like, well, that's free, isn't it? Right. Doesn't legal mean free?
It means you'll remain free if you get caught with
it. Oh, that's what I... That's I knew there was a free involved somewhere.
Right.
So we got excited. I even asked my wife, I'm like, honey, you're going to get, you know, you're going to... Because she doesn't really, you know, she doesn't smoke. So she's like, maybe I'll do it for, you know, for the trip. Oh, I'm nice. Like, that'll be cool.
You're like, it's okay, honey. I smoke enough for the both of us.
Yeah, don't worry. If you ain't, I'll just smoke your half.
Yeah.
But the guys at Ignite, Adam contacted me earlier this weekend and says, hey, good news. We got the Hyatt, you know, which is like a $160 hotel.
Nice.
So I'm going to be there. I'm going to stay there Thursday, and we're staying through Monday.
Wow.
Right? Because it's cheaper to fly home on Monday. It's a lot cheaper. So we save like a, you know, whatever, 200 something bucks on the flights. So we're going to fly back. So we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right? Four nights,
yeah.
All for like $120.
Oh,
right?
Those guys are awesome.
That's right. So, you know, so we're going to be, here's the deal. Of course, what we're going to do on my social media, on Twitter and everything, TripAdvisor, you know, you go in there and you plug the hotels, you know, and you take photos and all that kind of stuff. And like we did when we were at Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that. And of course, I told them, I said, look, make it happen because I'll give them free commercials here on the show.
Why not?
At least for a month. You know, we'll put them on here, if not longer. I'll cut a commercial. So waiting to get the, you know, the information from the hotel. But real excited about that. So listen for that. If you're an entertainer and you need, you know, you're traveling somewhere, and you don't have a hotel, it's like I'm going to be at Snappers Comedy Club in July in Palm Harbor. You know, they don't have a hotel for the feature. So, I mean, they can give me a rate like 40, 50 bucks. So I'm going to
see what you do with that.
Ignite's going to take care of that. And, but you imagine for $150 a night hotel, and we're there four nights, let's say, it's costing me $125.
It's 30 bucks a night.
Right. Exactly. Exactly what it is. Yeah. Thanks. Good math. So...
I just got a car, so it's, you know, I've been dealing with financing all day today.
Yeah, how fun. Now, listen, there's a few things I can't stand. One is when you have to go through the nonsense of buying a car.
Yeah.
Now, you've been buying these Mini Coopers.
Yeah, I lease them.
You lease them. Like, you go back to the same dealership.
Yeah, this is my fifth one.
Is it beneficial to keep going back to the same dealership? Or they treat you any different, or is they just go, oh, he thinks he's getting a deal, but, you know.
No, you know, look, they're... Car dealers are car dealers. They're going to try and make as much money as they possibly can.
Right.
But, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, dealing with the same person, you know, right. Knowing, you know, they know, you know, what your sort of situations are, you know, things like that. You don't really have to go through the whole rigmarole, even with the manager there today when I was doing all the finalization, the signing off on everything. You know, he was like, if you want me to give you the spiel, I'll give you the spiel. He's like, but you've been through this, you know, it's your fifth time through this. He's like, I don't have to,
right.
You know, do it. I said, that's fine. Whatever you got to do. So, you know, we kind of just quickly wrapped it up. But he even said, I heard him talking to her, my salesperson, and I was sitting at her desk, and he's like, hey, I think you messed up the customer number wrong because it's too low. And she's like, no, he's been here even before I've been here.
Oh, you can maintain the same, like...
Yeah, because it's the same account number, and I guess it's like, you know, my account number is like five, you know? Yeah, because I got four from her, and my first one was from a different salesperson.
That's pretty cool. I always get, like, the only thing I can relate that kind of to is like American Express.
Yeah.
Like, I've had an American Express Gold card since I was in college, because I worked there when I was at Nova University. And so I've been a member since like 86, 87, something like that, or 80, I don't remember, you know, gold card member since then. So every time I call, they're like, oh, you know.
You're right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got some.
Well, like, you know, they always try to, the car dealers always have like those, you know, optional, you know, tire warranty packages or,
right.
You know, like
environment. And by the way, those are pretty good to take. Like when I leased my BMW 5 Series.
Yeah.
And they had the run flats.
Yeah.
You know, the guy strongly suggested I got the tire warranty. And I'm like, nah, fuck it. And then, of course, with those run flats, you get a nail in them. You can't patch them.
Yes, you can.
You got to. Well, back then you said you couldn't.
No, they always said that you couldn't, but you can.
You can. Well, I did.
I've patched them a million times.
Yeah, when I took it back, when I took the lease back, I patched it. I'm not going to buy a new tire. Just patch it. Fuck right. it. So yeah.
Yeah, they can't plug it, but they can patch it.
Right.
There's a difference. But because the Mini comes with the run flats. But interestingly enough now, because he's like, I'm going to go over some changes since your last lease, because they have changed some stuff. I said, okay, what are the changes? One of them is that you have to bring it back with Mini/BMW approved tires. So like, it's not about brand and it's not even about model. He's like, but certain tires, due to their sidewall strength, is approved by Mini or not, and if it's brought back without these, that rating of tire, then they're going to charge you for the tires.
Really?
Even if they're brand new.
Hmm.
I was like, all right, well, we're going to see how that happens.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a new car now. You know, it's like, yeah. But with all the driving I'm doing, I'm either going to do one of two things. I told the wife, yeah, I go, look, I got to tell you this story. I got to tell you what happened to her.
Your wife?
Talking about car, yeah. She was driving home the other night before I left. I think it was last week, Tuesday or something. She was driving home, and she was in the heading down, 10th Street. The lanes merge.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
After you come by military, whatever, they merge, and she was just trying to get over, like speed up a little bit to get over. And I guess the person behind her sped up so she wouldn't, even though she's in a merge lane.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I hate those people.
So so when that happened, the girl ran, got by her, and stopped it, like kind of stopped in front of her. Eventually hit her car, like cut her off and hit her car.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, and then the girl took off, and my wife was sitting around waiting for the state trooper to show up for fucking an hour or so. I mean, that was the night before because I had a pack. I was getting all ready and stuff. And
she
was
okay?
Yeah. She was okay and everything. But the interesting is I got an accident report done. So I have the address and everything of this girl.
Oh, did she get the license plate number?
Yeah. Or? Oh, yeah. She got the license plate. She chased her down, and the girl was trying to, like, stop her, and then yeah. She took off. She got a license plate. She pulled back and then she called the cops. So she lives literally like 2 minutes from here.
People are so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be really stupid of me right now to say that what I'm going to do,
Why are you going to do anything?
Because she's not doing anything. The girl has no insurance or anything. She's fucked. I mean, my wife, now we got to come up with $1,000, the deductible to fix the car. You know what I mean? And this fucking bitch, speeds off, hits somebody and speeds off. Listen, there's reciprocation here.
Well, I get it, but is she being arrested? Is there any type of...
No, you can't do anything like that. Even my buddy Dave's, who's a BSO officer, he's like, if there's no witnesses besides the people driving, the only thing they'll do is they'll give her a citation.
Well, right. Is there at least a citation for driving without insurance or, whatever it is? Like,
I mean, it's like they're not going to go after her. No one's going to go after her. It's just the insurance company is trying to go after her.
But I think isn't leaving the scene of an accident some type of misdemeanor?
You would think, right? It's something, and then they're not going to do shit because it's one thing.
So then you're going to do something that's risking more of a misdemeanor.
No, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. Wink, wink. You know what I mean?
But that's my point.
There's not going to be anything. If a tree happens to fall in this girl's car, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Then you're going to feel so much better for 10 minutes.
Oh, man. Hell yeah. Well, listen, winds blow. There's a lot of winds here in Florida. Right. Bad storms.
That sometimes sound like chainsaws.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was just, I just get so fucking mad because, my wife was, she was rattled by it.
Of course she was.
It's bullshit. So,
I don't want to, look, I wasn't there. I mean, obviously I'm listening to your side of the story. But your wife was driving, and she's Asian. So I'm like, maybe there's...
Listen, John, you don't want my wife to kick your ass. That'd be real kidding. Embarrassing.
Your wife is an excellent driver. I've driven with your wife before. She's excellent.
She's awesome. She's an excellent... I did think that myself when she was telling me. She was like, oh, this happened. Like, I didn't want to go, really, is that what happened? You sure you weren't, like, aggressively driving?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, any rate, so what was I talking before? So that's something that happened. I thought was interesting that there was hit and run. That's the first thing I thought. I asked the police. I'm like, it's a hit and run. What the fuck?
Yeah.
This person should be arrested. And like, if nobody witnessed it, if somebody hit and the car got crashed and people saw it happen,
right,
and then
right.
drove off, then there was people there. You know, but it's almost like you can't prosecute because it's only the word against one driver and the word of another.
Right.
Otherwise, everybody like, hey, that person hit my car.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. It's not what somebody did wrong. It's what you can prove that they did wrong. I mean, I understand that
right.
that part of it. But to have it where it's just like, well, we're not even going to do anything.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not even going to go to her house. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe,
that's what I said. Why did the cops go?
Why
does the cop go to? That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go and see the car.
Right.
You know, I wanted to go knock on the door and say, "Hey, you know, you had an accident with my wife. What the fuck? You know, what are you going to do about it?"
Well, it's
you
like know? that MMA fighter that just died.
Yeah, what a story this was.
Yeah, and, well, they just caught the guy.
They caught him
yeah.
in Boca Raton. Right, I guess the guy was in Boca Raton.
Yeah, it was Delray.
Delray. It was MMA fighter just yeah. walking across the street where the school is, I guess,
yeah.
somewhere around there. And some fucking kid.
He's like 25 years
young
old,
guy,
27 years old.
Hits this kid
in his mother's Range Rover.
He's driving his mother's Range Rover.
Yeah, doing they witnesses it between 100 and 120 miles an hour.
It was what time of day was it?
That I don't know.
Was it nighttime or was it like morning, midday? We don't know.
I don't know, but the bottom line is at any time or day or night, those streets are not meant for doing
140 miles in a big old fucking battering
they're
ram.
They're not meant for doing 60 miles an hour. I mean, those are right. like older, narrower streets. You know what I mean? Like,
what did it happen on? Federal Highway?
It happened, yeah. Like you right on the right at the intersection of
right.
Federal and I think and maybe Atlantic or something. I don't know. But
right.
somewhere.
So, and this kid was crossing the street or something.
Yeah.
And he got hit by this fucking asshole.
Who then took off.
It took off. And the kid had his leg amputated and later died.
Correct.
And, you know, good kid, MMA fighter, yeah, trying to get
25 years
young
old.
Young kid, and this and that, and this fucking schmuck.
Yeah. Well, they said he tried to take the car to a body shop to get it
right.
fixed, and the guy wouldn't do the work.
Right. They saw the blood. Yeah. You know, they see the guy tried to clean the car up.
I'm sure he did.
But there was
yeah.
still blood.
Yeah.
That, you
hair
know.
And shit sticking out of it. And, you know, so and then he hid it in a storage bay, like rented a storage bay and hid the car in the storage bay.
Right.
And somebody turned him in. I mean, somebody like there was an anonymous tip.
Good. I mean, that's what should happen.
Absolutely.
Right. And this guy should fucking spend time in jail. This guy should get ass fucked for the next 10,
it's
20
murder.
Years.
It's vehicular homicide.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then when you run. I mean, it's one thing if you're driving and you happen, you know, it's bad enough when you're driving and somebody jumps out like a kid on a bike or something like that. And then, you know, something
right.
like that happens or you're in a car accident and someone in the other car dies and it's your fault. That's vehicular manslaughter.
Right.
Right. And yeah, you may not see jail time for that if it's unless you're DUI or some shit like that.
Well, and
that's
the other thing is they said that he'd been seen at a bar, like some bar
yeah.
prior to. You know, because now they're going to look at his credit card receipts and witnesses
sure.
where he was before, and they're going to interview bartenders. You know what I mean? Like all that kind of stuff. You know, look, I get it. You panic, but at the end of the day, first of all, at the end of the day, the likelihood of you getting away with something like that is like slim and none.
Right.
You know what I mean? With the amount of like cameras and shit that are all over the place.
Yeah. Nowadays,
and first of all, then what are you going to do? You got to take that car and you have to destroy it. You can't get it fixed. Like nobody's going to fix it. You know, unless you know like an illegal body shop.
And it's too late to call it in stolen. You know, a lot of people say you got to call it in. Hey, how come you called this car in stolen 2 days after? I'm like, oh, I thought my son was borrowing it or somebody. You know, and the thing is, it was his mom. So he's got to tell his mom.
Well, that's the whole thing. His mom's going to be, where the hell is the car? And
right.
there's a good chance that the anonymous tip was his mother.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I don't know. And we're all so... You're tracked, but you're not tracked. You know what I mean? Like, so if they want to dig in to figure out where you were and what you were doing, with cell phones, with credit cards, with you know, sun passes, with everything else, it's not hard to figure out you know your whereabouts during certain times of the day.
I mean, could you imagine that you're just crossing the street, you know, like yeah, you know, like it's a regular day, and that kind of shit happens, you know? And because my stepdaughter was talking about this, we got back from. My wife and her came to pick me up at the airport on
yeah.
Sunday because we were out having, you know, for
Mother's Day. Right.
And she told me the story. She was talking about the story, what happened. And that's why I said, you know, like, you remember when I used to tell you, like, be careful and this and that? Was because I thought you were going to do something stupid.
Yeah, it's because...
It's always because there's stupid shit happening around you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And like I told you, I'm a self-preservationist. You know, that's why I'm a bit anal when it comes when I go to a restaurant, I go to a club... I'm always looking, you know, I'm always looking for these potential hazards
mm-hmm.
that can occur. Like, you know,
like a Range Rover driving through the restaurant
right.
120 miles an hour.
Well, you know, or if you hear a bang, you got to know like right away. I mean, it gets down to the stupid shit. Like if I'm sitting there at a table, like if I'm sitting there And let's say something's going on, it looks a little questionable. You know, certain people walk in and it doesn't look right. And you're like, oh, maybe this can, they're going to rob them. You know what I mean? Whatever. You're right off the bat. I start looking, okay, what, there's a table here. I could lift it up and they start shooting. You know what I mean? You got to think like that. You got to, nowadays you have to think like that. Otherwise you're going to be a fucking victim. Otherwise you're going to be a stat, you know? And it's not crazy to think that way because more and more crazy shit is happening. And I know I get you all upset when I say more and more crazy shit, but it's true. More and more crazy shit. Because people today are less fucking responsive. People today are just less concerned about other people.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree. But, you know, the other side of that is, you know, you can think like that your entire life and have that kind of concern and worry, and then nothing ever happens. So, well, so you know, there is a cost. I mean, the more stress you have in your life, the more.
Well, I wouldn't say it's stress. I wouldn't say it's stress. I'm not stressed when I'm doing that. It's normal.
I get it, but there is, you know, what that emotion, what that thing is that's driving that feeling and that reason to do that. There's a stress component. You might not feel like stressed out, but there's a concern. You have a concern that something might happen, and that, you know, can do things to your body.
Well, but I'm just telling you. But it also alleviates your stress because, you know, you're taking these things into consideration.
I get it.
It's not. It's one thing if it's second nature. You know, it's another thing if you're just learning how to do it. You're just, you know, you're all of a sudden becoming very cautious.
I understand what you're saying. I just think, unconsciously or subconsciously, you know, there are things that can, you know. I mean, first of all, it's going to be heart disease that kills you anyway. I mean, you know, the way you treat your body.
I treat my body, John? The way I treat my body? How's that, John?
I just beat Minda in a race.
I mean, listen, I beat a girl who's 150
pounds.
Yeah, a girl that's 150 pounds lighter than me and younger than me.
Dougie raced a girl on anyone.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? And I went to the gym today. Ooh. I did legs. Yeah, you know, I got did some squats and some extensions, and I did about 50 minutes of cardio. Ooh. Yeah, nice. I stretched. I did the ab machines.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Then you had a meatball sub for lunch.
No, I didn't have a fucking meatball sub. I had a meatball sandwich. It's a difference. Actually, my wife's mom, you know, they make like these Asian meatballs, which are like fused with like lemongrass and like spices and stuff.
Yeah.
So when we got back to the gym, I'm ready to go run to the work and stuff like that. She stucks you know, a piece of bread, a little cheese, and then, you know, these half these meatballs.
Hmm.
So I'm like, So I'm like, hey, yeah, but it wasn't a sub. That's much bigger. It's just a fucking sandwich.
Okay.
But, you know, I didn't get to work out when I was in Oklahoma, you know what I mean? But I ate light. You know, when you go there, like when you go to a house like that, you got to go to the grocery store. You know, so I got a big bag of grapes, seedless green grapes, white grapes. I don't know why they call them white. They're green. I got a, you know, case of the fucking Starbucks, little glass coffee, you know, the little jars of coffee, cold coffee, you know, iced coffee, whatever.
There's a lot of sugar in those.
I know, that's the problem, but they're small. You know, they're the ones you drink two or three, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually had one in the morning, you know, and I got cold cuts. You got to get cold cuts. And I got that thin little, bread, you know, that real thin, the round, you know, not a lot of bread, wheat.
The sandwich thins.
Yeah, the sandwich thins.
Yeah.
And I ate that, you know. And the club, you know, the club is great, but the club doesn't have good food. I mean, the club had, you know, like pizza and fucking quesadillas and chicken fingers, you know.
Yeah.
So there's some nights I didn't eat. I will say this, though. On Saturday, nothing better to do when you got nothing to do on a Saturday when you're out of town, you're working at a comedy club. Some of the best things to do is go see a movie.
What'd you say?
Captain America, baby.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen it.
All right. Well, I won't spoil it, okay? But fucking great movie.
I've heard it's good.
It's really good. And, you know, just to have all those people in it.
Yeah.
The scenes are great. The way it's done. You know, again... You know, you watch. I always compare these fight scenes in DC Comics movies versus the fight scenes in Marvel, and they're not even comparable. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just like to have a superhero's fight. You know, it's got to be high. You know, it's got to be incredible. They're superheroes, but it can't be completely ridiculous,
right?
You know what I mean? Like in Superman, you know, when he fought General Zog. You know, they're like, and they're flying 1,500 feet, and it's like, it looks like Dragon Ball Z, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just terrible. To this day, some of the best fight scenes I've ever seen were in The Matrix.
Yeah, those were good fight scenes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
choreographed, you know, the whole wire fighting.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like one of my favorite scenes is when he comes in, he goes to the Mark, what's his name? Marvelian, what's his name? The
Merovingian?
The Merovingian, yeah. He's a vampire, right? He's basically the head of the vampires. That's the idea. That's don't right. I mean, he was a vampire along with the Lycans. There's like wolves, right, you know, right. Werewolves and stuff, and those people. But the scene where they're at out of his, I guess, foyer, you know.
Oh yeah, and it's getting there, like the with the steps that go up both sides.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, that whole
and
scene.
The swords and shit, yeah. And everything like that.
Machine guns and all that kind of stuff, and
that was pretty intense. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and then right. That was followed up by that car chase scene that they did, you know, with those two with the albino
twins.
Dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
they built like a mile and a half stretch of that highway that was built
really?
For that movie.
Just to film it?
Just to film it. So they built like that with the bridge, I mean, the whole thing,
right.
Just so they can film it. I mean, because obviously you can't film something like that on a, you know.
You'd have to close the streets.
You're going to close down the 305 in L.A. They,
yeah, you always wonder why they do that. You know, like how can you. Sometimes they do that, though.
Sometimes they do it, but, you know, in L.A. where there's traffic, you know, all the time.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Can you imagine trying to go to work one day and some guy's filming out there? You're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, you'd be pissed.
You would be pissed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I keep seeing your fucking commercial.
Oh, my Turtle Wax?
Yeah, I was watching the basketball.
Yeah, they show it a lot during sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I'm seeing it.
Actually, you know, it's so funny. We're at my brother's reception, okay, which was at Big City Tavern on Los Olas. Okay, they rented pics, and so they got a bunch of TVs around that were on, and they just had like the golf on, and they had a basketball game or whatever, and everyone was kind of at different tables, and one person, you know, kind of two other people at the table, they kind of looked at them, they go, man, that guy looks like John Levine. The other people look, that is John Levine. It was my commercial playing at my brother's wedding.
And you're sitting there, you know.
Like, I didn't even see it. They told me afterwards. Yeah. They were like, we just saw your commercial.
It's got to make you happy, right?
Nice.
Let me ask you, like, yeah, you got a lot of good things going on, that, the TV shit and stuff like that. You get a little cocky, you think? You think, you know, because somebody said they thought you're getting a little cocky to me.
Who said that?
I won't tell you who, but they just said that you think you're getting a little, you know, cocky. And, you know, my response
let me ask you, is it somebody that I would care that I thought they were getting a little
cocky? I think you care because you care, but I would tell you that you probably should. I would tell you shouldn't care because you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Because people feel that way about me, and I say, fuck them. You know, I don't give a fuck how they feel. They're just jealous. When it comes down to it,
that's
right?
That's the bottom line.
Right? When somebody says you're cocky, that just means, you know, you're just, you got a reason to be because shit's happening. You're in a good mood.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I did or said that made them think that way. But I don't consider my, because some people are like, oh, you're famous. I'm like, no, I'm not famous. I'm like,
well, that don't go crazy.
No,
but
you know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing out of everybody's mouth. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I was on a commercial.
My point was, listen, I said, John's a little cocky anyway.
Right. I am a little, I'm a confident person to begin with.
Yeah.
And that rubs people the wrong way.
And we've talked about this on the show, the difference between cocky, be conceited, and being confident.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And you know, that's why we've disagreed. We've had arguments. But I respect you because you're a well-thought guy. You're a smart guy. You know, you don't just say shit because you just say it.
Right.
You know, you have a certain belief about it, even though we don't agree with a lot of stuff. But you got to respect that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Although you disrespect me, you fucking prick, a lot of times. But aside from that, you know, you got to respect that. You know, and you got to recognize that because that's the way I feel. And, you know, and people say shit about, oh, well, you know, you got to, fuck you. I got an attitude. You know what? I have an attitude to you because you're a douche. You know what I mean? If you're not a douche, I'm probably a nice guy to you. Right? I mean, you think about it.
See, now I'm really curious to know who thought I was cocky or getting cocky.
Well, just think of people who aren't, that don't look that like they're that happy with themselves or happy with their comedy, you know? Think about people who've been doing open mics for the last 15 fucking years.
You know, that, right, but I'm also trying to think about the people that you would be around. You know what I mean? Because you don't go to as many like open mics now.
Well, it didn't have to necessarily be in person. It could have been a message on, you know, somebody sent me, you know, that kind of thing.
That could have been.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with John Levine.
The cocky one.
That's right. And we're going to come back with some top stories, basically some things that are trending right now. We pulled from the news in the last day or so. And, of course, we have straight from the headlines after that. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm here with John Levine.
You are.
Yeah, and this is the WEI Network. The Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. By the way, if you miss anything, you can always go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Over 480-something episodes for you to choose from on the site. We can be heard on Stitcher and iTunes. You can subscribe to us. It's free. And we appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. And we also have a fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Make some comments. Let us know what you think about the show. We appreciate it. Anything you could do. And share with your friends. Don't be a stingy fuck. Yeah? Share the pleasure. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. At any rate. Welcome back to the show. Talking about car accidents and just fucked up situations in the first part of the show. And John's got a new car, another Cooper.
Yep.
It's bigger.
It's the Cooper, bigger car. Cooper Clubman.
I'm thinking I got to buy a new, so the wife and I were thinking about getting another car.
Mm-hmm.
What I was thinking about was I would just maybe take her car.
Yeah.
You know, just start using her car for the road. And then just buying or getting a nice car, you know, and I was thinking of like an SUV because of the dogs, you know.
Sure.
This and that. But, you know, I don't know. I think of cars, and I like, there's so many cars, like, I probably like that. But I can't help it. As I get older, I'm getting away from, like, the nicer, you know what I mean? I just want to have a nice little car, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's the thing. You look at what you're spending on it. You look at, what am I getting this for? What do I need? What are my actual needs? You know, like that type of stuff.
I mean, when you're a young guy and you're single, you got to pick up pussy. You got to have a nice car. If you're married, who gives a shit?
I don't know. I've never had, like, a really expensive car.
Well,
this was my fifth Cooper.
Yeah, how do most women feel about your Cooper? They're like, it's cute.
They like it. They think it's a cool car.
And it's like the opposite. When you have a fast, like a Corvette or something, you think you're overcompensating for something.
You know what it is? This is the always reason I like the Mini Coopers, is because it's an affordable car. I don't want to say it's inexpensive because it's not. It's not like a Civic or anything like that. I mean, it's an affordable car that is a smaller car that gets, you know, it's good on gas, but it has curb appeal. You know what I mean? It's an interesting looking car where it's not like a dime a dozen, you know, little Civic or a Dart or, you know, whatever those are. It just has nothing, you know, nothing to it. There's nothing unique about it. You know, the Cooper has always been like, it's a cool little thing. So
it's kind of like a beefed up a Bug. You know what I mean? Like the Bug had its own little appeal to it.
It's got its own little niche to it, and it's a little bit more interesting. Not many people drive them. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, but it's one of those things most people don't go, I'm going to go out and buy a Mini. They don't just jump right to that, you know? For this car, I did look at other cars.
Because it's one thing. I bought a Celica twice. I had a Toyota Celica twice. Yeah. And I had actually a 4Runner twice. That was the only time I bought the same car. And I always said, I'm never going to do that again. I always want to try a different car.
Yeah, well, I've had different models of Coopers. So, like, I had, you know, sort of the regular hardtop Mini, the two-door was the first one. And then I got a convertible for the second one. And then I went back to the hardtop. And then I went to the Clubman. And this is the second Clubman I had. And the reason I like the Clubman is because you've got space. It gives you more space. It's got a trunk space and passenger
space.
And
a back seat and stuff.
To do both, right.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah, and it looks nice. So it's, like you said.
Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I haven't gotten my windows tinted. The last couple of cars, I haven't bothered getting my window. I used to always buy a car, got to get the windows tinted.
I took it right from the dealership right to the tint place.
I know. Yeah, me, I'm like, I haven't bothered. I'm like, ugh.
It just gets so hot down here.
I know.
Car just bakes in the sun.
I know. That's the worst part.
This actually has an interesting, and they were showing me all the features this morning, you know, because it's got all these little tech features.
Right.
It has a ventilation timer. So let's say you leave for work every morning at 8:30.
Right.
You can set a timer so that at 8:15, it'll turn on the ventilation system. Not the AC, but it'll suck all the hot air out of the car.
Really?
And run it for 15 minutes. Won't turn on the engine. Just run the ventilation system.
Well, it's got to work the battery a little bit,
It'll work the battery, but it's just a fan.
Right.
It's not, they're not putting on the compressor. So it'll get the hot air out of the car to clear all that out. And then, you know, you get into a relatively cooler car.
Well, good luck with it.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Here's a story that kind of got some interest. West Point launches investigation into raised fist photo.
Are you with the women?
Yeah. Now, I guess West Point, there was a period West Point didn't take women, right? A long time ago. I'm thinking of the Citadel.
But the West Point didn't. I mean.
Didn't either.
A lot of colleges didn't.
Right. You know. West Point has launched an investigation into whether a photo violates the military policy against political demonstration.
Yeah.
The picture shows 16 black female cadets wearing their uniforms with their fists raised. Now, let me ask you, you've seen the photo.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider this a political statement?
I didn't. It's not like I looked at the photo and went, "Oh my God, I can't believe they're making this political statement." I didn't, but I understand why it could be in violation of it.
Well, one, they're all in Citadel uniform. Number one,
no, it's West Point. It's not.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they're all in West Point. They're in their uniforms.
Well, see, right.
And two, they're all black women. It's not like there's white and black women mixed in there, and they're all women.
Well, it wouldn't make sense if the white women did it.
No, but I mean, at least no, because if there was white men and women in there, it would be like at least there was something. You know, that was shared in a sense. There was something that wasn't, you know, politically charged. You know, because, I mean, you look at something like, the first thing you ask is, well, who the fuck cares? That's the first thing. Like, what's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is because West Point is part of the Army.
Right.
And it's public. You know what I mean? It's part of the government. So that, right. That's why this is, if they did
you
that.
You can't go one way or the other.
If they did that at the Citadel, it wouldn't be an issue. And that might violate the Citadel's policies, but that's not a big deal.
Right.
But this violates the Army's policy.
Right.
You know, so that's why there's an issue here. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't look at it and be like, "Oh my God!"
Because they're basically saying that this is a political stance for Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what they were trying to do. I mean, I don't know what their intention was, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even know if they had that in mind or they were just like, "Hey, let's just do it." You know what I mean?
Nah, I think this is a sign.
And it could have been. I don't know.
I would say this is a sign. The hands up is definitely a sign. And it's, you know, here's the thing.
It is, but I'm saying I don't know if they did it if they had such forethought that we're going to do this picture together and make a huge political statement about it. It might have just been like a spur of the moment. Hey, we're all here. Let's do it. And they didn't realize the repercussions.
I see what you're saying, but I disagree. I'm going to say that they did this knowing, like, hey, let's take this photo. Let's, like, because they knew what they were doing. They all got together. They're uniting together and they're standing themselves, which they are part of the military, which the military doesn't like that when small groups within the group form. Unless the military puts that group together.
You know, they didn't say, but did they take other pictures as part of this, or were they gathered just to take this picture?
Yeah, some question whether the photo, which made the rounds on social media, was taken in support of Black Lives Matter or some other political movement. The Army Times reported several readers wrote into the outlet to say that they believe the cadets were breaking the Defense Department's rules that members on active duty should not engage in partisan political activity.
Yeah. Well, it's like if they were holding him beside and vote for Trump. I mean, it's the same.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not going to associate the two, but to me, it's one thing to believe in your race and all that kind of shit. Okay. Everybody has to believe in your nationality, your race, your fit, whatever. Those are things that are you. You know what I mean? I get that. But when you're all sitting there in your uniform and you've congregated together and you're making this statement. You know what I mean? It almost differentiates them from everybody else in that fucking unit.
Well, that's why they have that rule against it.
And that's why it's almost like somebody being in the military and them sitting there with like burning crosses, a bunch of white guys getting together with burning crosses. You know, nevertheless, it is a statement that they're trying to make. And when you look at this, I'm not big on this Black Lives Matter thing. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not big on it. I get some of the understanding of it because of the police brutality and supposedly innocents being killed, this and that, all this going on. But at the same time, I think it's a farce because there's more young black people dying at the hands of other black people, much more than by the hands of a white cop that they need to address. In other words, if Black Lives Matter, then they need to fucking matter. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like saying, hey, I'm important. If you are important, then you need to be important. You know what I mean? Let's think of it that way. It's like somebody going around saying, I'm good. You know, I'm a good guy. I should be respected. I deserve. You know what I mean? And you don't. You don't fucking deserve shit in this country until you fucking earn it. I mean, everybody should be respected. Everybody should be, you know. But when it comes to, like, you know, we want to be treated a certain way, then you should act a fucking certain way. Then there's certain things that you would think would come with that. You know what I mean?
But I think Black Lives Matter is that exact point, which is saying you should respect black people too.
But that's fucking, that's ridiculous. That's assuming that black people aren't respected.
Well, that's
and here's
not,
the fucking
not,
thing.
But based on things that have happened, that's not necessarily an assumption. I mean,
bullshit because I think, and there's people that aren't respected. People aren't respected. That's why it's like isolating a certain folk that, you know, have to get a certain attention to it where nobody is. You know, that's why everybody kept saying all lives fucking matter. That's the real thing. All lives matter. And the fact that we're saying black lives matter, it's almost saying, but white white people don't get disrespected. People don't get dissed. White people don't deal with fucking shit.
Not to the same extent.
That's bullshit. Know? Everybody deals with shit one way or the other. Well, I've been to this.
You didn't let me finish, but at the hands of law enforcement is what I was going to say.
You and I will not agree on that. I think for the most part.
So you think that the police treat white people and black people the same?
I think for the most part that I think police officers treat situations the way they treat them. And that's just the way I feel. Now, you and I have been through this. There's studies that were done, and it turns out after you and I had that show a few weeks ago, there are certain studies done, but these studies were done under biased pretenses. You know, there were certain things done, like the white guy, you know, he addressed the police a certain way, while the black guy dressed him a little differently. You watch some of the information that was taken. It turns out a lot of these were biased studies. You know, it's like, okay, if you have the white guy sitting there in a suit and tie, you know, and he gets pulled over, he's going to be treated a certain way than a black kid who's wearing a fucking skull cap thing.
But that's the exact point.
But why
are they treated differently?
Because the guy got a skull cap and he looks like a fucking thug. But if a white guy had the skull cap and, you know, in a fucking thing, and a black guy got pulled over in a suit, you know, how often would that be the other way around too? And that's why I don't think it is. It has to be with the image that's portrayed. And that's where the focus is leaving. Yeah, all lives matter to me, and I, you know, nobody should be treated if they're innocent about anything. They should not be treated. They should not be stereotyped. You know what I mean? Or profiled in a sense. But listen, this is a completely stupid way to look at it. There's so much more other violence going on in the black community that has nothing to do with police. It has to do within their own society. And to me, it's like ignoring that. This is like focusing on something that has little relevancy to the bottom line of all these young black people dying. That's why this whole Black Lives Matter thing. And it was started under a premise of falseness under this Michael Brown case that he was an innocent fucking guy, which he wasn't. This whole Black Lives Matter thing started because of Michael Brown getting the unarmed guy got shot by a police officer, which ended up being a bunch of bullshit.
You know, that wasn't bullshit. He was unarmed.
He was a fucking thug. He attacked the cop. He went for the cop's gun, and he acted like a fucking asshole. So that's the end of the story. Whether he's white or black, if anybody would have done the actions that guy done, they would have gotten shot. It didn't matter that he was black. The guy, you know, had nothing to do with it. It had to do with the fact of his actions. That was it. But this whole matter went across because of this, and that's the thing, and that's that's why this Black Lives Matter thing is got a stagnant on it.
Stagnant wasn't the
it's,
word.
No, no, it's got a stigma to it. You know what I mean?
Stigma. Yeah.
Where it's like it's not going to go. It's not going to get there. It's got too many falsenesses in it. You know what I mean? There's too many things that won't fly. You know, why Black Lives Matter? Why don't you tell that to the dads who don't that leave the kids, that don't pay fucking child support, that don't support the family? That's a good way to start where Black Lives Matter. You know, black kids matter. Black kids matter. So the parents should, you know, the parents, the fathers should stick around. Could you imagine if the black community did something to keep, you know, the fathers and the, you know, from all these just fucking leaving their kids and, you know, and leaving them to be raised by their grandmas and their grandpa, you know what I mean? That to me is a much more bigger epidemic than the police shooting some fucking, you know, kid on the street. I really do. I just say, you know, listen, the attention's got to be done somewhere. So, you know, I think all these cadets need to be fucking expelled. That's what I think, or reprimanded.
Well, I think they'll get reprimanded.
Well, I'm sure they already have. West Point doesn't pull punches. You know, West Point's not
or
a kind
of fists.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Enough said on that subject.
Thank God.
Talk about young kids dying. Mississippi student, 21, dead after falling off a scoreboard at the football stadium Jumbotron. Do you ever do crazy shit when you're a kid? Like, you're going to climb the tower or do something like that where you know you could probably die?
I shot myself with a loaded handgun. So, yeah, I've done some stupid
you
shit.
You shot yourself with a loaded handgun.
We've never talked about this.
No. Where did you shoot yourself?
In the hand.
In the hand?
I was playing with a gun that was my father's, my friend's father's gun at his house.
How old were you?
13.
Hmm.
So the answer to that question is yes, but I never did anything stupid like climb up on top of a Jumbotron.
Yeah, when we're out in Margate, they used to have this big tower on 441 near Coconut Creek Parkway. It's like a big radio tower.
Yeah.
One of those things. We used to go up there and climb all the way up, and the cops would come out, you know, and again, get down from there, like, fuck, you know. And we'd get down, they would take us home. You know, call our parents.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
If you were black, they just would have shot you off the tower.
Probably. Mississippi student, 21, dead after fall from football stadium Jumbotron. Mississippi State campus is grieving this weekend after a student died after falling off the school's football stadium Jumbotron. University officials have confirmed that Andrew Dembowski plummeted to his death early Saturday morning during an ill-advised climb atop the massive electronic scoreboard. The Okotobia County Coroner Michael Hunt said Dembowski fell 18 feet from atop the Jumbotron to a concrete catwalk below. Hunt told the Inside Edition that the awning on top of the scoreboard is not built to walk on, and it collapsed under Dombrowski's weight. He hit his head on impact but was alive when the emergency crews were called at 1:30 a.m. However, the 21-year-old went into cardiac arrest as crews worked to get him from the catwalk. It says here that Gordon Hunt investigated incident ongoing. He said that authorities believe it appears to have been an accident. Yeah, I don't think he tried to jump to his, 18 feet to the concrete floor.
Well, it could be a possible suicide. That's the other way they would look at it.
Right. Two other male students were reportedly at the scene when the tragedy struck. Hunt would not comment on whether alcohol was involved. I would bet it was.
He's a 21-year-old college student on top of a Jumbotron?
Yeah, I'll go with there was alcohol involved.
Right.
I imagine there was...
He was probably holding a handle of vodka
while
he was climbing.
He probably slipped because he you dropped his beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The death was confirmed in a statement from MSU Chief Communications Officer.
It's sad.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. You got friends that, like, you want to do, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, let's do this. You think you're invincible. Let's do this. And then you end up fucking,
That's why they don't draft old people into the army.
Yeah. When I heard this story, the first thing I thought is, can you imagine you're up there and you're walking on it and all of a sudden you hear and you go, and that moment you go,
this was a bad idea.
Yeah. This was a fucking bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Yeah. Maybe I should let Bill go up here first.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine the guilt of the other two guys, right? The other two friends that said, yeah, man, this will be cool. Go up there. Yeah. Think about those guys. Just saying.
Yeah.
Could have been, could be the way it is. Hey, by the way, political wise, in the talk, Trump is the Republican candidate.
Presumptive
candidate. Right. Still have the Electoral College, right? And all that stuff happens.
Well, no, they have to have the primary.
Right.
He has to get to the 1237 or, the voter in the primary, which he has not done yet.
Right. Now he still campaigns. He's still been kind of going out campaigning.
Well, he has to. He's running for president.
Right. Right. I know. But, when everybody else drops out, it's not like when other states are going to vote, right? I guess they could still vote for anybody else if they wanted to.
Sure.
He's only
97 people away from the number that he needs. So it's,
So everybody else walked away. But if for some reason...
Well, technically, everyone else has suspended their campaign. Meaning they haven't stopped. They're still eligible, but they have. Suspended.
That's what I noticed was different this year.
Ben Carson is still on the ticket.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I noticed they're suspended in the past. I haven't heard that. Personally, said they're dropping out of the campaign.
It's pretty much the same thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, right. But if it comes to light all of a sudden that Donald Trump, there's a video of Donald Trump having sex with a boar. Or something like that, then all of a sudden Jeb Bush can jump in and be like, hey, I'm back running.
Right. Yeah. All of a sudden, he's doing coke with Kim Jong-un.
Right.
Right.
Though that idiot would probably still stay in the race.
Yeah.
He would. That coke, it was terrific. It was terrific coke. We're going to have the best coke.
You can't blame me for doing that much coke.
That's right. We're gonna have the best coke in this country. I'm telling you, people, you're going to love it. It's going to be terrific.
Yeah, that's going to be part of our new trade agreement with Mexico.
Right. We're going to have a little window in the wall that can just hand
that's
it through.
Right. Exactly. We're going to build the wall, but there's going to be like a little tube that...
fucking idiot, that guy.
Listen. And
you don't think he's an idiot?
Listen, I can't call anybody an idiot that's got so much shit going on. You can't say he's an idiot. I can't say anybody's an idiot. The guy's in a position where he has certain feelings, and he feels, and again, just because somebody says something about somebody or something, or he's just quick, outspoken.
But then he changes it. He says one thing, and then he goes, oh, no, I was just kidding.
Well, I don't mind that, because there's times that I thought a certain way about something, and after further investigation and more investigation and being advised by something, I said, I could change my mind. I like the idea that a politician...
I wouldn't vote for you for president.
I wouldn't expect your fucking vote. But you know what? The point is, he came back. I have to read the story, but he talked about he would tax, probably the tax rates for the rich would probably go up.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a statement in a context, because when we have to define the rich, Obama, that fucking asshole, define the rich as anybody making over $200,000 a year, or $250,000. Yeah, which is, it's you're doing okay, but you're not rich, okay? Rich should be $500,000 to $1 million or more when you think about it. You know, that's really the one percenters. It's not the fucking $250,000.
Well,
I made $250,000 a year for a few years, and I was not fucking rich.
But it was raising the tax rates. It wasn't only taxing those people. It was for people making $250,000.
We know that, but the bottom line is that's truly the upper middle class. You know, rich is like $500,000 more, you know, people making $650,000, $750,000 and up. Those are the people that need to pay more taxes. You know, if anything, you know, those people can get another 10% and it won't fucking make a difference. And those are the people that if you raise taxes on those people, those numbers will make a difference. You know, and like I still believe like anybody making under a certain amount of money shouldn't pay any fucking taxes. You know what I mean? You don't make enough. You have family, you have a married couple with two kids and they're making under $50,000 a year. They shouldn't pay any fucking income tax. Because basically, when you look at current tax law, if they were to make their normal deductions anyway, they probably wouldn't pay any anyway.
I was about to say, I don't think they even would even.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But eliminate all the fucking loopholes and all this nonsense. Just have this flat tax come out. You know what I mean? Let's just have a fucking flat tax. So if you make $500,000 a year and you're paying 20%, then you're paying a lot more than somebody who makes $100,000 a year at that same. You know what I mean? It's just fucking tax. They got to do something with the tax code. They got to do something with this tax code. It's undoubted. Plus, the corporations in our country are paying. That's why companies go overseas, because it's a fucked up situation. That's why I get mad at Paul. This company is outsourcing jobs. Of course they are. They got to survive. If they're out, you can't get mad at a company for outsourcing when they're just trying to be competitive and keep the fucking lights on and keep the business open. Then losing the business. Oh well, yeah. Well, we used to employ. Yeah, we employed half our employees from overseas. The other half were in the United States. Well, that's fucked up. Well, would you rather none? Would you rather just have no employees at all? And then we had, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it just, people are fucking, you need to understand that sometimes that's what happens. You know, I will say this though. The issue we have in this country is there's a lot of people that aren't that fucking bright. Okay. You know what I'm saying? They're just not that bright. So, you know, the work ethic.
Yeah, but see, I don't think that's changed as much. What I think has changed is there were jobs, fairly well-paying jobs that those people could do. Manufacturing jobs, factory jobs. Like, those were jobs for people who didn't go to college, who didn't learn specific skills, you know what I mean, that were not specialized in a field.
Why did the employee rate go? Two things. Obviously, if you go to Mexico, you go to some of these other countries, the labor is so much cheaper.
I was just going
to
say.
Right.
I
mean, right. So that's hard to compete with.
Right. That's a huge portion of it.
Yeah, but the quality.
Let me tell you something. China's running into the exact same problem now. Now that China's economy is coming up and now China has a middle class.
Their middle class has developed. Yeah.
They're going to run into the exact same problem that
same
we did.
Challenges.
Because their economy has boomed so much because they're doing the manufacturing for three quarters of the world because of the cheap labor that's all of a sudden
just
not so cheap anymore.
Just came out with numbers out of China where the steel companies are building, still producing all this fucking steel in order to put it. But you're right. And I mentioned this, a year or two ago, that manufacturing this country will come back because of that main reason. A lot of these other places, these third world countries, in a sense.
There's still plenty of places where you
can. Vietnam. Yeah,
and,
but there's still that quality. There's certain things where the quality, you know what I mean?
We don't care about quality
anymore. No, but we do.
Everything's disposable.
Yeah,
now.
That's the thing.
When it comes
to most things, like manufacturing certain things, like car, air conditioning units, car, you know, all this kind of shit, you know, there comes a level where the quality has to come back. So it's this point where, you know, these other, like we said, China, there's a middle class now, so their wages have raised, their cost of production of stuff is raised. Not to mention that if we can get them to fucking do something with this carbon footprint, you know, that's got to raise a lot of, you know, their costs are going to go up immensely.
Yeah,
you know, eventually you got to think in China that people are going to just be dying and people, you know, they have a brain drain, right? How many people are leaving China?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How
many rich people are leaving China because it's a shithole?
Vancouver right now, Vancouver, British Columbia,
right,
is like literally almost part of mainland China. I mean, there are areas of Vancouver that I've been to that are, it's all Chinese. It's not even, they don't have like a Chinatown. I mean, there are, you know, huge swaths because all this money is coming over to Vancouver because it's fairly easy to get to from China because it's on the West Coast. So all this money is just getting, you know, they're taking the money out of China and they're investing it over there.
Yeah.
They're buying real estate and they're buying cars and, you know, everything.
Yeah. So.
But some manufacturing might come back, but not like it was.
And here's the thing. We have to, and that's where the uniqueness of what we do. If we are quality, if we could put that American-made quality back into things, or even industry. Like, you know, I remember one long time ago, we were talking about, okay, if you take like a regular worker, like somebody who works at a retail store or something like that, they lose their job. What is the economic impact on that? It's not that much, you know, in a sense, because that person doesn't really apply much to the economy anyway. Like somebody works in retail or fast food, or, you know, they don't have a lot of discretionary dollars that really stimulate the economy. Those people really don't really put to the economy. Yeah, you know, they don't add to taxes. They don't really have spending dollars.
But all those people in aggregate do.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. That's the thing. But if you took a person that was like a pharmaceutical sales rep that lost a job, right? The economic participation that person has is multiply higher than that the average person, because that person goes out to eat four nights a week. That person travels two or three times a year. You know what I mean? They actually put a lot more to the economic part of this country.
I think they have much more potential, but you can also argue that person is probably smarter with their money, and they're not spending it.
No, I think they're investing it, they're saving it. I think the minute you have more discretionary dollars, you will find ways to spend money. Nicer car, and then you got, you know, you don't wash your car yourself. You go stop somewhere else, and you the local place, you get your car washed because it's only 20 fucking bucks.
I understand that they have a larger economic impact. I understand that, but I don't know if it's, you know, I don't think I'm more in disagreement about the retail worker and their lack of impact
I mean
they still go to the movies, they still, you know, yeah. Maybe they go out to eat once a week and not four. They still have to buy food at a grocery store, they still have to, you know get their internet at their house. I mean, there's
something there. Before we take a break, I wanted to go up this little story. Let's talk money. Okay.
We just were
well, that's why I want to continue talking about it. Let's talk money. 17 things every adult should know. All right. Number one, numbers don't lie. So I love that stat. Numbers don't lie. I use it all the time in my practice, right? You know, I had one time a client says to me, "Hey, we're only up 3%." I'm like, "Well, the S&P is flat. The markets are flat. If you're up 3, you're doing good. Don't complain." You have $100,000 in the bank. However, if inflation is 5%, that is $100,000 has less buying power as prices have gone up 5%. The bank will have to give you 5% on your savings so that you break even. I remember people who say that. I got a CD. Yeah, the CD is making fucking 0.5%. You know, right now inflation's low. There's not much inflation unless you're sending kids to college, right? Or updating your iPhone every fucking 6 months. So you got to take that in consideration. You got to take inflation in consideration. It's not what you have. It's what it can get for you.
We have 16 more of these.
Number two, do not take on debt. Right? Don't take on fucking debt. Everybody gets out of college. Oh, give me a new Visa card. I want a Visa card. Give me a Visa card. Next thing you know, like me, I fucking end up having all this debt I had to fucking get myself out of.
Yeah, though, you can make the argument, though, it's the availability of credit in this country that allows us to have a middle class. I mean, in other countries, you don't finance a home. You don't mortgage a home. You buy it. Like, if you don't have the money to buy a house, you don't have a house. In this country, we have credit, which allows people to live in a middle class, which other countries don't have.
And because we have credit, we also have people that fall from, you know.
No, I get it.
And then
the system
breaks down.
But let me tell you something. Like, we just talked about it. I got a new car. I can't plunk down $27,000 to buy that car.
Right.
So did I go into debt? I sure did. I'm now contractually obligated to pay off the debt of that lease. So that's debt. Right. I have a house. I have a mortgage. I'm still in. That mortgage not paid off. That's debt. So, you know, I get it. Don't go into credit card debt. Don't live more lavishly than you should.
I use my American Express card.
Right, because you pay
because I know what I don't get caught.
Though even Amex will now let you roll stuff.
Yeah. Revolving credit. My wife keeps increasing it. I say, put this over there. I'm like, honey, what the fuck? Number three, pay all your credit cards ASAP. Yes, because sometimes if you have a revolving credit. Let's say you have a 5.5%, 8%, whatever the hell is interest. You get that bill. If you wait 2 or 3 weeks, it's accruing.
Mm-hmm.
And also find out from your credit card if they accrue it from the time of charge or the time of bill.
Yeah.
So you got to know that between the cards. Number four, credit cards give more cash. Give me more cash to spend. It's generally reasonable advice. However, whenever you use the credit card and do not pay back in the grace period, you end up paying more money out of your pocket. Wealthy people, number five, wealthy people have a lot of cash. Is not necessarily true, as you just said. A lot of people just have the purchasing power, right? I mean, I knew a lot of people, like as a financial advisor, I meet people like, a guy makes $250,000 a year, but he couldn't write you a check for $20,000.
Right.
Right? And that's a big thing now. Since I left,
well, it's like, what are you liquid for? I mean, what's your
real net worth?
Yeah,
I'm at the point now by getting rid of debt and less, you know, cheaper car, this and that. That, you know, there's cash, and cash is king, man. You know, when you got $50,000 in the bank, at least you're sitting pretty. Unless, of course, you owe somebody $58,000. Number six, getting wealthy means you should actively buy and sell stocks. Some people say no, don't. Yeah, you should. Fuck yeah. If you know, like Apple stock's been, you know, being down. It's been down. It's like the worst performing stock on the NASDAQ this year. You know, it's at 90 something bucks. You know, do you think Apple's going to go down? I mean, you think, you know, could it go down further? Possibly, but why not buy it if it's part of your money that you're not going to use for 10 years? You got to buy stocks. You got to put money. That's equity. That's like a home. A home is equity. The value of equity is determined based on supply and demand. A fixed asset's like a CD, a bond that grows at a certain interest rate. You got to have some equity. Number seven, investing will make you financially successful. This is not necessarily true. You have to start, but does not mean you will be successful. Well, like anything in life, you like comedy. You can lose. You can suck. Right.
Who wrote this list?
Well,
what's the website?
UPI.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, the idea is that, you know.
The Onion? What?
Yeah. No. You got, like people say, like, you got to, if you start, like me, obviously I've been doing it all my life, so I can look at a stock, buy, you know, but if you got to do it at some point, you know, even if it means putting, I always tell people, if you never did, at least put $100, $200 into a mutual fund every month. Start there. If you are smart, why aren't you rich? Well, you want to answer that? Why aren't all smart people rich?
Is there a thought that all smart people should be rich?
Yeah, many smart people do not know how to manage their money. Hence, they do not get rich.
So their argument is that smart people all have the propensity to be rich. They're just mismanaging their money.
Right. They're not that smart. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I don't know.
Number nine, a degree will guarantee you financial freedom. No, it's not true. You got to do something with that degree. I found out like the degree is just the key to get into the real world.
Your degree really only matters for your first job.
If you're in comedy, all the degree is like a TV credit to become a headliner. You still got to go there. You still got to knock. You still got to do well. You still got to be professional. You still got to be funny. You still got to do all that stuff. Number 10, having a licensed certified financial planner will be your trump card to create wealth. I say this, I'm not a CFP, which is Certified Financial Planner. It is, if anybody getting into the business now, it's a definitely good way to acknowledge who you are, that you spent the time, that you're serious about it. But you know, I taught CE, continued education to CFPs. I'm not a CFP. Why? Well, because I've done over 500 personal financial plans in my life, and I've done all of it. You know what I mean? I've studied all of it, and I just didn't take the fucking test. So, you know, by the way, do the broker check thing. Well, our company told us, hey, make sure you go on there, make sure everything on there is correct.
Right.
You know, it's like your credit. Number 11, a bachelor degree is adequate for getting a good job and getting wealthy. Not nowadays, right? I think a master's
I think it also depends on the industry.
The industry. Like, what industries right now? Like, tech. Like, remember, computers were big, but now there's so many people in computers.
If you're a talented programmer, I mean,
right.
You know, you're not a programmer who necessarily, you know, took a 3-hour course online to learn how to write, Ruby on Rails. But, you know, you don't necessarily need a computer sciences degree. You know, that's not something that, marketing is another thing. I mean, I work in the marketing industry. There's talents. I mean,
right.
People have certain proclivities to different things as opposed to just, you know.
I always found out, my advice is if you can talk to people.
Yeah,
and you communicate. You pretty got endless number of different professions you could probably get into. Number 13, I will get wealthy if I take a corporate job and work my way to the top. This is logical. Sounds logical. But how many corporate people ever become directors or vice presidents? I'll tell you that most of the time now in corporations, it's not going to work that way.
Yeah.
Because the corporation will be disbanded. It'll be downsized. There's buyouts. The worst part about me, every time I started working at banks, bank brokerages, you think it was awesome because you're working a bank, you're working 9 to 5, the leads are all there, you're sitting there, and then what would happen? Oh, this bank's taken over. Fuck, here we go. Yeah, now your margins are shrinking. Now you're getting paid less. They're doing more. You know, I will never work for a corporation again. I believe in being independent. I wonder if I wasn't a financial planner, if I would just want to open my own business, right? Because nothing better than working for yourself.
It's hard.
But when you work with yourself, you got to deal with everything. You got a lot of pressure, and you don't have to answer to anybody, but you got to do everything.
Right.
Number 14, money buys happiness. Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes the more money you have, the more problems you get. The more money you make, the more expenses you incur.
Money gives you choice. That's what money gives you.
Right.
It gives you options. Doesn't necessarily make you happier or sadder, but it gives you more options.
Right. Right. Exactly. And my advice to my stepdaughter was always, education. The more education you get, the more options you'll have.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be limited to just one option. I can only do this because I don't have a high school degree. And I'm
right. Forced into something that you don't know.
Yeah, you have no choices. Right. In life, you want to have multiple choices.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you do, anything you challenge yourself with, anytime you do something, you got to say, look, I want to put myself in a position where I can make several different choices. I'm not stuck making one or two. 15, finance is intimidating. Well, maybe for some. I mean, that's my specialty, finance.
Yeah, I don't think you can put yourself in that.
Right, yeah. I mean, but some people can't balance a checkbook. They don't even know how to bank. I remember in accounting class, there was a lot of people that had a hard time, with the concepts of accounting. Assets plus liabilities equals equity, or whatever. Or, bank. I remember when we did the bank reconciliation statements. You had to reconcile your bank statement. People get lost. It's amazing. Number 16, Social Security will take care of me when I get old. No.
Yeah, don't rely on that one.
The Social Security Act of 1933-34 was always intended to be a Social Security was only intended to be a
safety net.
A safe net. It was like a portion, a way to kind of help your retirement, not fund your retirement. It's a big thing. A lot of people think I'm just going to live off Social Security. It's like living off disability. That's not what disability's for. My brother's on disability now. He's like, I only get 50%. I'm like, well, then go give. That's the idea. If disability paid 100%, everybody would just come disabled and never fucking work. And number 17, I own millions of dollars of stock, so I am rich. Not necessarily with owning all that stock. At one morning, you can wake up one morning and it'd be worth half a mil. But you definitely need to review these types of things. Somebody won the Mega Ball.
Yeah,
in New Jersey, 400-something mil, one winner.
Mm-hmm.
In Trenton? I think it was
I don't know exactly where it was. I knew it was Jersey, but I didn't see exactly where.
Man, again, can't help it. But if I won $400 million.
Yeah, but to be honest, if you take the one-time payout. So now it's only paying out at like 75%, right? So what's 75% of 450?
Well, 75, 80, 74, it's like 320-something thousand,
right.
330.
And then,
so
then you got 50% in taxes, basically. So now you're down to about, 160? I mean, that's about what you're walking away with.
Right.
No, I mean, I'm taking it every day of the week, but
there's also, combined stuff. Like, you could say, okay, I want a certain portion up front.
Can you? I thought you had to take the annuities, or you had to take the...
Or the cash value, the present value, as they'd say.
Yeah.
I would always go with the present, because I know it handles
money.
Absolutely. And, it's the way you want to go. I have a client that actually the next year is his last year of getting $260,000 after he got $260,000 a year for 20 years.
Mm.
Can you imagine? I mean, even with that kind of money, the question is you don't go crazy and, like a rapper type and go out and spend all that money and not have any, but I always said I would probably keep my job because I manage money. I would be my biggest client. I would just manage my own money. And if people call me and say, hey, go fuck yourself. I got time for you. I'm dealing with my biggest client. It's me. You know what I'm saying? Would you like... That or would somebody say, why wouldn't you just quit it and then just go travel all over the country and just do that?
Well, because it's finite. It's going to end.
What?
If you get 260 a year for 20 years.
Well, let's just forget that.
What do you do on 21?
Let's say I took 150 mil. You take 150 mil.
Oh, for that. I thought
if I take 150 mil, the first thing I do is I pay off this house. Right? The year after I pay the taxes, of course. I pay the taxes next year. I pay off the house. I got no mortgage.
Yep.
Right? And then what you got to do, I think rental properties are a big thing. If you could find a rental property, that's some of the most successful retired people I've ever seen that had rental properties or had mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
They would issue the mortgages. Like they'd rent the house, sell the house, put them, whatever. But rental properties, you have four or five rental properties. You got 2,500, 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 coming in every month, right? The houses are paid. You don't want to mortgage them unless you got a real deal. And then you got that. And then you got Social Security. Then, okay, that and that adds up. That, not a bad way to have an ever-going annuity. Because then the worst case, okay, I don't want to rent this shit anymore. It's going to sell them. Now you walk away, you sell the properties for $1 million and you're set.
Right.
So I would, there's part of me that would say, fuck it. I couldn't imagine if I had under $50 million in the bank right now, I'd actually wake up tomorrow and go, I got to go to work.
No, I don't think you would, but you know, you'd have to be smart about what you do with the money.
Right.
I mean, because you're, what, 49 years old?
Right.
Okay, so you got to figure, I mean, if you think you're going to live another 40 years?
The first thing I would do is I'd take $50 million and apply it to my retirement. That's a third. I wouldn't touch that money. Like the it would be my orange money, is that right. Voya shit. So I would take $50 million and just apply it to that, not touch it, split it between. Basically, the simple idea, you take 50% of it and put it in bonds. You might, with the interest rate, you might have to put like 75% of it in bonds right now, so that in 10 years it doubles, right? So you have that, so you'll have mm-hmm. $100 million, or you take, let's say at a $50 million, you take, I don't know, you take like $35 million of it and you put it in bonds. The other $15 million you put in investments in Disney and Procter and Gamble, Philip Morris, just buy all these dividend stock, and in 10 years you'll be, you know, 10-20 years you're fine. The other $100 million, then you buy some property, some hard assets. You get some things like that, you know.
Spend $1 million on cocaine.
Yeah, there'd have to be a couple of days of that. Yeah. You know,
$10 million in hookers.
Like a harem of hookers just for like 3 days straight.
Right.
Honey, I wouldn't do that if you were with me, but, you know.
Would you keep your wife?
It's good. Yeah. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of people that would say, hey, look, honey, you know, 150 mil here. Here's 20 mil. You know, I mean, after you tax out everything and stuff. Yeah. Like, here's 20 mil. Let's, you know.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that reminds me of the old joke. You just won the lottery. Like, hey, pack your bags. Why, where we're going? I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with John Levine.
And we're learning finance.
That's right. It's all about money today. But we'll be back with Straight From Headlines right after this.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight From the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
That's right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time for Straight From the Headlines, where we talk about stuff that is happening from around the world and make fun of it. It's the way to do it. Here's a story. Ohio home egged more than 100 times will now get a new paint job.
Well, it's looking at the sunny side of things.
Yeah.
Hey-yo!
Hey, that's a joke. You ever egg a house on Halloween? You ever go egging?
No.
We used to go and take the I never really did that, you know, but we would go.
You would just beat people up.
No, we would take like water guns, like filled with vinegar, you know, and spray kit, you know, people's, you know, they're trick or treating. And then you'd get like the shaving cream.
Why would you do that?
Because they'd smell like vinegar. And then and then
you got in their eyes, they would be blinded.
No, they would be fine. You don't aim for the eyes. And then you'd have like the shaving cream.
Yep.
Right. But you'd take off the top. And you'd put like an aerosol can top on it so it streams out.
Hmm.
And they have shaving cream fights.
Yeah.
Ohio, E-U-C-L-I-D, Euclid?
Euclid?
Is that right? Euclid, Ohio. An Ohio home that was pelted with eggs more than 100 times over a year will finally get fresh finish thanks to a local painting company. The news reports that Newbert Painting in Brook Park is planning to paint the Euclid home. Work was scheduled to start on May 4th, but was postponed because somebody egged the fucking house again. Jason Cozen was charged in March with vandalizing the home between May 2014 and June of 2015. He tells the news he isn't responsible for the vandalism.
Did he say why he did it?
Nope. Newbert Painting had offered to paint the home last summer as a part of its Paint It Forever or Forward program. Paint It Forward. It's kind of cute. The company was waiting for police to approve because the case was under investigation. It has now been given the head to be painted. Wow. 100 times egg the same house.
And they don't even tell you the reason why he did it.
No.
That, to me, is the interesting part of the story. Great, yeah. It's getting a free paint job. I get it. It's some PR marketing.
But maybe the guy who owned the house used to work at Denny's and he got fired. You know, little breakfast, Denny's breakfast type of thing. You like eggs? You want fucking eggs? I'll give you eggs. Here's another story. Undy run goes on despite pleas from CSU officials. Fort Collins, Colorado. Colorado State University students went ahead with Friday's annual Undy run despite opposition from university officials.
I'll have to look for pictures of that online.
Yeah. Oh, unless they got the freshman 15.
I got my eyes with you. I'll look at a fat 18-year-old girl.
Yeah? Yeah, why not?
Yeah. You thought about that for a second. You're like, I would too, I guess.
Did you get the freshman 15?
No, actually, when I went to college, I was almost 300 pounds. So I lost about 100 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd you lose? Because you just weren't home for mama's cooking?
Well, no. I mean, I gained when I got there because it was like, I can have french fries with blue cheese for three meals a day, you know. But it was in between my freshman and sophomore year, and I was there visiting a fraternity brother of mine. There was some girl there who had said to me, she's like, you're an attractive guy. You'd be like really good looking if you lost some weight.
And that was it.
The next morning I woke up, I'm like, all right, I'm going to lose this weight. Wow. And I dropped like 80 pounds, and then I kind of kept it off and then worked out more.
There you go.
Yeah.
The event started as an end-of-semester clothing donation drive, but was devolved over 6 years into a ruckus gathering.
Raucous?
Raucous. According to the news, university police say that there were no serious incidents as students ran about in their underwear. University officials said in a campus-wide email that it will trash all clothing discarded at the event.
Campus police didn't find any automobiles were used, but did find some skid marks.
That's right. Yeah. There was no tires being used, but there were some skid marks. Yeah, my wife says we're not getting more white underwear.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, we were talking about this over the weekend because I wore all white to the wedding.
Right.
Linen. And I don't know if you've ever worn linen before, but it seems fairly transparent, you know?
Right.
So I had to...
And it wrinkles easy.
Very easy.
And it's supposedly good to wear when it's hot.
Yeah, it's because it's very breathable.
Right.
But I had to buy white underwear because I don't, every color underwear except for white. So I had to purchase a pair of white underwear.
Usually when you wear white pants that are somewhat translucent, I guess you would say, you're supposed to wear like beige, like body color underwear. So that you don't see, like, you see white, you know, underneath your...
Yeah, I mean...
But you're probably so white anyway, you can't tell the difference.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. I'm almost clear. That's how white I am, you know.
Yeah. You're like gelatinous.
Yes. I'm a gelatinous goo.
That's right. Yeah, so no more white underwear. Just black.
Yeah, well, now I have two pairs of white underwear because I came in a two-pack.
Well, just don't eat Taco Bell.
I did that yesterday.
Yeah, me and Brett James got Taco Bell after it was a Friday show.
Hmm.
And, when you're at the Taco Bell drive-thru, my first thought was, okay, I want a chicken burrito. That's it.
Right. $17 later.
No, but exactly. I don't need a Taco Bell. I really don't. But when I have gone, I've ordered a cup, two or three things. It was like $4. I mean, it's like, I said, I'll buy, because he was driving me all over the place. I'll buy. The bill ended up being $20.
Oh, yeah.
So he starts ordering. He gets like the Nacho Supreme stuff. Then he gets two bean burritos. Mm-hmm. He got some other shit.
So is he a larger fellow?
He's a big guy. He's taller. He's, he's not fat. He's just heavier.
He's just big.
Yeah, he's like, so when he's ordering, I'm like, oh, I don't just want a chicken burrito then.
Right.
And I started thinking, well, I'm in the house. And it's like, I could probably put something in the fridge and save it for the next day, even though I got those cold cuts, who wants
to. So that went out the window. Right.
No, so I got the chicken burrito, and then I wanted the new chalupa. You know, the new thing. I want
to try quesalupas?
The quesalupa.
Not good.
They're not?
No, I don't know.
Okay, because George, George Takei is like, oh my, they're wonderful. And I'm like, all right.
Well, George Takei says they're good.
Well, I'm just saying they're, everybody's the rave, so I was going to try it. But then the people at Taco Bell fucked up. They put half his shit in my bag and half his shit in mine.
Ah.
So I got my chicken burrito, which I ate. But then I got hit two of his bean burritos, which are probably still in the fridge. Over in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They'll
be good for another 2 years.
Yeah. And then I got this like new special quesadilla, like the beef one, the beef alita, whatever they called it. It was actually okay. But I did, actually next morning you're like, oh.
Yeah, what did I do?
Yeah, this is not good.
What did I do?
Mm-hmm. Here's another story. Police on the hunt for thieves who stole Bibles from a Christian bookstore.
Hmm.
I mean, if you get, I mean, first of all, I don't know how valuable the Bible's got to be.
Yeah, I don't get that, but okay.
Right, and then of course the guilt. You know, they when they get arrested, they're going to be in court. Like, oh, okay, put your hand on. Fuck, who stole the Bible?
Do you swear to tell? Oh, never mind.
Someone stole the Bible. Police are hunting for a pair of thieves who stole nearly $500 worth of Bibles from a Christian bookstore in Massachusetts. Cops in West Springfield report that the shoplifters boosted the good books Saturday evening from the Morning Star bookstore. The suspects swiped 8 Bibles, each of which cost 50 or 60 bucks.
Oh.
According to its website, the Morning Star chain provides resources for all Christian denominations and stocks a wide selection of Bibles, artwork, gifts, and church resources. Prayer, shawls, anointing oil, plus thousands of books, DVDs, and CDs.
See these guys like with like 10 Bibles each underneath their shirts. Excuse me, sir. I came in with these. I came in with
Yeah. On the corner going, hey, you need a Bible?
Yeah.
In a bid to capture the Bible thieves, police released the above surveillance images of the two suspects on the April 13th heist.
Well, shouldn't they just wait till God punishes them?
Well, they will. I imagine they would be, right? Now, a quick question I'm going to ask you because you're... Do you think the Bible? Do you think the people who stole the Bibles were white or black?
I have no idea.
You want to take a guess?
No. Why
would I? I'm just asking because we've talked about crime and race and stuff. I just thought it could be one white guy, it could be one black guy, it could be a woman, it could be men.
I'd have formulated no image in my head of what this person is.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking if you.
So what
if
are
you
they?
Take a guess. They're black. Two black dudes.
Why does it even matter?
Black Lives Matter.
Oh, Jesus.
But you're going to tell me that they had a reason to steal that because they have terrible because of slavery. That's why they're stealing shit.
No, don't be ridiculous.
All right. Texas school fooled by 7-year-old's fake note. Did you ever write a teacher a note?
I did one better. I called in. I used to Piper High School here in Fort Lauderdale in Sunrise. Has a radio station, an FM radio station in it. Still does to this day.
88. WPIX?
Yeah, WKPX.
KPX.
KPX. And it had a request line. There was a telephone in there. Right. So I would call the office from the request line and be like, this is Mr. Levine. My son, Jonathan, has a dentist appointment.
Right.
Oh, no problem, Mr. Levine. And then I'd walk in like 10 minutes later and be like, hey, my dad call? Yeah, so here you go. And they'd sign me out.
Yeah. I had my brother do that one time.
Yeah.
Call up for me. But I was always, because my brothers are such fuck ups, after they fucked up and didn't graduate, I'm like, I didn't skip. You ever, it's like senior skip day?
Sure.
Yeah. I did that a couple times. But I would never like skip school.
Yeah.
Like I have friends that would skip school a lot. Like I was just going to skip school.
Yeah. We used to do like, before they had the Marlins here, we'd go to spring training games sometimes.
Right.
Like I'd call my brothers, to the middle school and get him out, you know what I mean? And then we would skip and go to like baseball games. We'd be sitting at dinner that night. My mother would be like, why are you guys so tan? Because we thought of everything but sunblock. That's why.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Texas school fooled by 7-year-old's fake note. In Houston, a 7-year-old Houston girl managed to get out of an after-school program with a fake excuse note that she wrote herself in large print with misspellings. The girl's father, Charlie Daihu, told the news that his daughter was wrong to write the note, but it's obvious it was written by a child. The note says, I want Rosabella to go to, T-O-O, Dus 131 today. With the note, Rosabella was able to take a bus home rather than participating in an after-school program. But the girl couldn't get into her house. She spent part of the afternoon outside until asking a neighbor to let her use the bathroom. You're nothing worse than skipping and then no one else joining you.
You know, what's interesting about this is I don't know what's sadder. The fact that the people who work at a school were fooled by a 7-year-old's note, or the other flip side of that is that they have such a low estimation of the parents of these children that they looked at it and go, look at these fucking idiots. They can't even write.
They probably did. They probably go, boy, this no wonder she's doing shitty in school. Look at her parents.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Rosabella can't go to school today.
S-K-O-O-L-E.
Yeah. Today she has to go home early.
Has to go to doctor.
I-R-L-Y.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, when I read the little bit of this story, is like the father still wants to blame the school. He He's not going to take responsibility with his own kids. See, whether the school, to me, as a, if I was a father, whether the school had anything, you know what I mean? I would not even bring it up. I would be like, I got to fucking straighten out my daughter.
Well, but there's two problems. I mean, I agree with you. And
you're going to come up with some liberal nonsense.
No, it's not liberal nonsense. But you do put a trust in that these people are watching out for the safety of your child. Right. They just let her walk out.
Yeah, you have to question that. What the fuck are they doing?
Right. But no, she's certainly to blame in this. I mean, yeah. She is absolutely. I mean, but there, I would be mad at them too. You know, I'd be like, well, what else are you letting them do that right. I don't know about? You know.
Well, now you got to make real money and send her to private school.
Because only the rich should get a good education.
Yeah. Well, Darwinian.
Really? So the tortoises were paying each other off? Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bank robber who dropped trail of money gets 15 years. It's a great story. Clayton, Missouri, a bank robber who left a trail of cash as he ran from the scene of the crime, has been sentenced to 15 years in prison. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that the 41-year-old Cameron Bodie of Delwood pleaded guilty and was sentenced on Wednesday. Authorities say Bodie dropped thousands of dollars in cash as he fled a Commerce Bank branch in University City on February 25th. Bills were found on a sidewalk, on streets, in stairwells, dogs, and the dropped money helped authorities track down the robber, Clayton Ware Bodie, was arrested in a parking garage. Police say Bodie had only about $100 and $1 bills left on him. Hey, man, I got about $10,000 I stole from the bank. Hold on a second. Shit, where'd it go? Fuck, I got a hole in my pocket.
Why's it got to be black?
It's not black. How do you know it's black?
Oh, come on.
It could just be.
What was that? Asian? Was that your Asian accent? You're really good at accents.
It was
Jewish, right?
It could have been a Wigger. It could have been a white guy. It could have been like Kevin Perry. Oh, God. Could have been a guy like that.
So it could have been a white guy acting black.
Right. Wishing he was black.
Right.
Yeah, and funny.
Jeez.
Here's another story. I think this is kind of funny. Because who said they're good on pogo sticks?
Oh, Talia said, right?
She said she would challenge me to a pogo stick and contest, which I can ride a unicycle.
Right, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I knew both of you were doing something stupid.
Right.
I didn't remember what your stupid
thing was. How stupid was stupid.
Right.
Pogo champion stripped of world record, but it wasn't his fault.
He was taking performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
PEDs, pogo enhancing drugs.
I mean, when's the last time you saw a pogo stick?
13 days ago.
Really?
No.
I mean, I can remember being on a pogo stick. I think the most I was able to pogo, bounce, was maybe 5 or 6 times.
I like how you felt it necessary to explain to me what you meant by pogoing. I thought it was something different.
Well, I didn't know if it was an actual expression or not.
Well, I don't think it is, but I mean, it's understood of what you were referring to.
Pogo champion Jack Sexty has been stripped of his world record because the course he bounced along was too short. Student Jack completed the Manchester Marathon on a pogo stick in 16 hours and 24 minutes back in 2014. But now the course has been found to be 380 meters short of the 26 miles and 385 yards official 26 miles and 385 yards of the official marathon distance.
16 hours. So there were some people at the finish line, looking at their watch going, come on, bro. Yeah. I want to go home. All right. Yeah. I've been here for fucking 16 hours.
And people standing along the line here. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. I mean, if you're on a fucking pogo stick for 16 hours,
strong legs right there.
Yeah. Strong legs. I mean, your arms. I mean, fuck. And the guy looks like a dork.
16. So what is it? So 26 miles, 16 hours. So you're doing a mile, 1.2 per hour?
Mm-hmm. But now the course has been found to be 380 meters short and 385 yards official marathon distance. 26 miles of that. All timings for 2013, 2014, 2015 events have been declared void. Guinness World Record says Jack's record no longer stands.
What's the next record?
I mean, somebody must have done it that long, and he couldn't. Quote, we hope this won't deter him from breaking records in the future, spokesman said. Jack from Bristol said he wouldn't be losing any sleep over this decision. He reckons jumping on and off pavements means that he actually did more than a marathon. Yeah, you think about it. If you're bouncing, you're bouncing. It's actually covering more distance, right? My suggestion is this guy should get a fucking skateboard. Right? I mean, there's a period of time where people stopped doing pogo sticks, started riding skateboards.
Did he have to, I mean, I assume he stayed on the pogo stick the entire time. Like, he never fell off of it.
That's what I'm saying. You can't like, get off and get back on.
I don't know. I don't know what the...
It doesn't say that he got off and fell.
Well, it doesn't say he did the marathon, continuously. Do you know what I mean? Like, he pogoed continuously.
Well, you know...
I mean, can he stop and get a drink and then get back on and keep going? You know what I mean?
No, like, it must be hard. Like, when you're running a marathon, people hold the water out and you drink it as you're running.
Right.
I couldn't imagine you can drink while you're pogoing.
I mean, I can't imagine he didn't have to take a piss in 16 hours.
Well, you know, he probably had a diaper on. And you definitely want to...
He's bouncing and shit's, like, falling out the bottom of his shorts.
Oop, looks like he just dropped the load.
Shouldn't have had Taco Bell.
Ugh. Disgusting. In our last story, a little good news. Purse stolen 14 years ago has been found in a garbage can and returned to the owner.
The trash people didn't come up for 14 years to empty that garbage can?
Yeah. In Seabrook, New Hampshire, a New Hampshire woman received a resolution to an old crime when her stolen purse was returned to her after more than a decade. Lisa Hall Mazzagaglia shared the photo of the purse, which was returned to her after 14 years when it was found in a garbage can at a Market Basket in Seabrook, New Hampshire. She was initially confused when Seabrook police informed her that they had her purse and thought they had contacted her in error. Quote, I figured it must have been a mistake, or perhaps I'd been the victim of identity theft, she wrote. I'll admit, the thought of my stolen purse from years ago had been crossed back to my mind, but I quickly dismissed it as a ridiculous thought. The bag was basically as it was 14 years ago, she wrote. While it's still stuffed with credit cards and IDs and receipts from my Christmas shopping done in the previous weeks, Mazzaglia said that the purse was stolen back in 2002 of December while she was out Christmas shopping for gifts to donate to charity. Yeah, I bet. I was putting the gifts in my car, and my bag was lifted out of my cart when I turned my back, she wrote. She felt a sense of nostalgia as she rifled through her old belongings, including her cell phone pager, undeveloped rolls of film, no one's going to fucking be able to develop now, and even $4 that the thief neglected to find.
Actually, those films, you probably developed that film.
Yeah, I bet you can. Such strange things have happened, she wrote, but thanks to the twists of fate and thoughtfulness of some good Samaritan, she now has her purse back. You're right. Like, it was just sitting in a garbage can. No one took the garbage out for 14 fucking years?
Right. Like, that's what I'm wondering. How did it...
I'm going to call shenanigans on that story. How you like that? Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
We covered a lot today.
We did. We got a lot. It was just you and I. You know, we didn't have Talia sitting here, like, gabbing it all up like she usually does.
I'm going to tell her you said that.
Yeah, she's going to hear it on the show. Anyway, thanks again for listening, guys. Don't forget, this Wednesday, Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show. Your headliner, Gene Marola.
Yeah, nice.
We'll be out there. Our feature will be David Del Rosario, that kook. Matter of fact, David will be joining us, I think, in the studio on Thursday here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And Desiree Senden is going to be doing a guest spot.
Wow.
Yeah, and she'll be out there. Don't forget, by the way, on the 14th, or I should say this Friday, I'm going to be at the Colony West Country Club performing with Gene out there, so don't forget that. Next week, I'm going to be at Looney's in Colorado Springs on Friday night, participating in the World Series of Comedy. So if you happen to be in that area, come out. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. A lot of dates coming up. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous and on Instagram. Join our fan page on Facebook, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow John.
Just visit johnlevinecomedy.com to follow my pertinent social media information and calendar.
There you go. And don't forget, tomorrow in the studio, Peter Leonard and Elgin David will be here. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you tomorrow right here at the same spot.
Frontiers, war without tears.